Loblawsgrills.com is better than pie.
That's the way I like it. My garden's a secret compartment. And that's the way I like it.
And that's the way I like it.
Your body's a dream that turns violent.
And that's the way I
like it. All right, that's the way I like it.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, everybody.
How y'all doing? You doing good?
I hope so.
Having a good day?
Welcome to the Exit Strategy.
Oh.
This is a new show on Fridays where we will focus on getting out of here.
Out of the world or out of the show, out of our week, out of our day.
We're going to focus on escape in general. Escape, escape, escape. Get out of here. How do we get out of here? How do we get out of this week? How do we get out of this? We're getting out of the week and into the weekend, right?
Okay.
Right. Yeah, we're getting out of our old selves into our new selves, out of the old man into the new man. How do we do all
turning
that?
From a mother to a wife?
Yeah.
For date night?
Sure. This is the Exit Strategy, and these are the topics we'll be covering in the future on this show. Today, we're going to specifically deal with getting out of childhood and into adolescence. How are we going to do that?
We're going to talk about Helen's hormones.
Oh, brother.
And just watch. Wait. I wish you could see. You should see Abraz. His eye twitches.
It does.
It starts to twitch. It gets a little twitch in his eye. And then he starts to make really strange faces. And it becomes very uncomfortable to watch. Yes. Yes, it does. Yes, Helen will be 8. And I've noticed a slight change in her.
So she officially moves into adolescence. Officially.
Well, you know, they say that...
Between 7 and 8.
Hormones in girls start between... You start at around 6, 7 years old. Mm-hmm. That they start... The hormones start to change. And I've noticed changes. And I'm not talking about... I'm not talking about preteen hormones. I'm talking about... I'm not talking about... Like, she's... developing all of a sudden or anything like that. Like she's 13 or anything like that. What I'm talking about are
that's
just,
another change.
Okay. Yes. We're not talking about that.
The Lord has not equipped me for that yet.
Hopefully that'll be a few more years.
But we are talking about just she's starting to notice boys. Notice there's a difference. You know,
well, and she's crying in movies.
Crying in movies.
And she's starting to cry for no reason.
Starting to really get particular about how she looks.
Yes.
She's just starting to exhibit a little more
feminine. In a very innocent way. Just very slow. It's just interesting.
So how are we going to get out of this mess?
We're not going to get out of it. We're going through it. We're going through it.
We're escaping childhood and we're coming into adolescence.
What we're going to do is we're going to be available to her to talk. We're not going to put our hand in our fist and go, boys are bad. Because then she'll never talk to you.
Right.
And you want her to talk to you and trust you.
This started, you know, of course, because all dads are overprotective. And so it was just kind of something funny I did where... You know, we don't talk about boys. We don't deal with boys. Boys are bad. You know, I'm the only boy you need to worry about in your life this kind of stuff. Well, you know, not only is that naive, it's also dangerous.
Yes.
So what I did was I sat down with her in a time. The Lord provided time because I've been praying about it.
Yeah.
And the Lord.
Well, she'd been talking to me a lot about.
She'd been talking to Faith a lot.
About, yeah. And I had been trying to keep things open and trying to steer her. You know, God always needs to be your most important relationship. You need to keep your relationship with Jesus most important. And if he's the most important, then they're going to seek the Lord to find you. And you're so far away from having a boyfriend or doing anything like that. You don't need to be worrying about that. And so I've been steering in that direction.
Right. But at the same time. You know, I've been praying, and the opportunity opened up, and so she crawled into my lap, and it's just one of those moments, and I hope you have them. I hope you've had them, or your kids have them with you, where she just wanted to crawl inside me. You know, it's just one of those times where she just wanted daddy. You know, she wanted to be completely safe and forget everything, mm-hmm. you know, all that, that feeling just overcomes you where you just want to be
yep.
in daddy's arms and is just in close, just you want to just like she grits her teeth when she's hugging me, you know, that kind of mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And so she's that way. She's sitting in my lap. She's snuggling in me like it's, you know, just like she wants to crawl inside me. And I said,
nothing better than that.
It's great. But the Lord gave me that opportunity to say, hey, let's have a serious talk. And because she's maturing in that way, she understands that that means intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she connects that now, whereas before she wouldn't have. And so she says, okay, what are we going to talk about, Daddy? And I said, well, let's talk about something really serious. What's the most serious thing we can talk about? I know. Let's talk about boys. And she's like, okay. You know, because she's into this, because it's the right time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the right time. And I said, you know, Helen, I said, Daddy's a boy. I said, if you ever have questions about why boys are acting a weird way or you know, what's going on with a boy, you know, you can come talk to me because I can give you some insights. I can help you. And she's like, I never realized that you are a boy. You know? She was so surprised that I was a boy and that I could help her, you know, and so she began to see me in that moment,
mm-hmm.
not as something. I told her, you know, and I went on to tell her, I said, you should never do anything you can't tell me about. I mm-hmm. said, I know that you feel more comfortable talking to your mom about this stuff, but you should never do anything that you can't talk to me about, that you would be ashamed to talk to me about. That's just not good. And mm-hmm. I said, and, you know, and my part is I've got to be open to hearing it too. Mm-hmm. I said, because me and you, we will always have a special place in each other's heart for each other. And so, you know, and so it's just like you have to deal with me loving mommy, you know, more than you. I have to deal with you loving your boyfriend, you know, and your husband more than me eventually and that kind of stuff. So but I don't think we actually.
I didn't have any of that conversation.
I didn't actually go there. That was in my head. But anyway, we did talk a little bit about that because I did talk a part about me loving mommy.
Mm-hmm.
We did that and I said, you know, you have to deal with, you know, and all that. So.
Cause that was hard for her to understand.
Yeah. Trying to think of what I actually said.
Back when we first brought that up, that I love daddy more than you.
Yeah.
And you love me more than her. And she was like,
wait a minute.
I don't know about that.
But that's important. She needs to know that.
She needs to understand that.
And the priorities of relationships. And we mm-hmm. love Jesus more than we love each other. And you know,
she's got that one down.
Right. So anyway, that just, so we were able to have this conversation and she was able to open up to me. And so the rest of the conversation was her talking to me.
Yeah.
I mean, that just opened the floodgates. She started talking about her boyfriend and how he asked her to be a boyfriend and how he said, okay. And then he came back and then he said he didn't want to be her boyfriend anymore. And then a week went by and then he did want to be her boyfriend again. And then all about her best friend and how her best friend has a boyfriend and how her best friend doesn't, she has a boyfriend, but he doesn't like her. And I'm like, well, how can you be a boyfriend? And she didn't know. She was like,
because they're not really boyfriend and girlfriend.
Because yeah, it's just all in their heads.
It's not a boyfriend girlfriend thing. It's just little girls wanting to have Prince Charming ride on the horse. It's just the thing.
In name only.
It doesn't mean anything. I mean, they're doing anything that means anything. I've been there.
Anyway, so I said, so anyway.
That's what I had to try to keep explaining to Brad because he's freaking out. Boyfriend, what are you talking about? Boyfriend, it's going to affect you. She's 8 years old. I'm like, it's not real. It's not really a boyfriend.
But at the same time, I want to be able to talk to me about it.
Right.
And so that, because she can't talk to me about it, I can't help her.
Right.
And guide her towards what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, when a boy's being appropriate, when a boy's not being appropriate.
Right.
She's being appropriate right. for her age and when she's not being appropriate. I mean, pretending to have a boyfriend at this age is appropriate. Actually, having a boyfriend at this age is inappropriate.
4 or 5 years from now, when she actually does have a boyfriend.
You know.
Whoo. Yeah.
So, there you go.
Yikes.
So that's my exit strategy for childhood into adolescence.
And then comes the other scary conversations.
We're not getting there.
No, not yet.
We're not going.
Those are a few years off. Not a long way, but they're a couple years off at least.
Well, the Lord will prepare me before we get there.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of prayer between here and there. It's the name of my book. I'm writing that down. There's a lot of prayer between here and there.
Yeah, that's a good name.
Name of my book I'm going to write.
It's a good book title.
Yeah, I know.
I like that.
Okay, nobody steal that. That's mine. I'm copywriting it. Creative Commons. Stamp on it. Okay, fine.
the world's kind of got this whole talk about sex and all that backwards, I think.
Yeah, tell them about what you heard on Oprah.
I can't.
Tell them about what you heard on Oprah.
I can't.
Now go ahead and tell them.
It makes my eye twitch.
Tell them how much. Tell them the value that you learned from watching Oprah.
The value
of watching Oprah, yes.
The value that she wanted to instill?
Yeah.
Or the value that I took away from it?
I didn't watch it, but Faith told me about it. It made me go crazy. But she came on there and she says, at the age that we are with Helen, that...
No, they were talking like 10-year-olds.
So between 8 and 10 is what you told me.
Yeah, okay. I guess you're right. Yeah, 7. Yeah.
That you should have the talk with your daughter. That you should tell them, that you should get out the chart with the body parts on it, explain everything, which is fine. And so far, I mean, I wouldn't do that yet because she's not asking. But anyway, still, that
about
you should
11,
do that.
Yeah.
No huge red flags are going off in my head. You know, when she's about 11 is really more appropriate.
11
I think.
Or 12.
But anyway,
yeah.
So you get out the picture and you show them all the, you know, the little chart, where the woman's cut in half, and you show them all the different things. But they went even further. They said, and then you do the man.
And then they showed the boy.
And you show all the different parts of the man thing.
And then they explained.
You go into how to.
They explained.
How to touch yourself and how to. All that.
But the point of what. Of the thing that they took away from this that I was so. I mean, I literally sat there with my mouth hanging open thinking. Because this was. It was so. It was so timely because I'd been reading Preteen Wise, which is the Growing Kids God's Way book about the middle years, 8 to 12 year old. And I've been reading about that and how, you know, all these things that are happening. And it was very timely and how she was talking about it from a Christian's perspective and a moral perspective. And then I'm watching this and I was flabbergasted. That's the only word I could think of. I was flabbergasted. The doctor who was on there was talking about how she thought that, I mean, can we have this conversation out here? Is this okay? Do we need a warning? We need a warning.
We're fixing to say the word masturbate.
Is that your warning?
That's my warning.
Alrighty then. So they were saying that you should tell little girls that they should start to understand what that feels like themselves so that they don't translate that feeling coming so that they think it's coming because of the boy. And then think.
So not only should you teach the little girl how to do this.
Right,
and
right.
Talk about it with her, but you should also do it so that she understands that
the boy doesn't have anything to do
with
it. Because
Oprah's feeling is that too many girls have sex with the boy and then translate that sex into love. Hello, the chicken before the egg here.
Do you think?
You are supposed to translate that into love. It's a perversion.
I thought it was very interesting because her friend, Gail, who, you know, was always on the show with her, said, I totally disagree with you. I think the boy has very much to do with it. And I think you're wrong. She said, I disagree with you. And I was like, well, thank you that somebody has some form of reason. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, you know, and then they're making all these jokes about how boys, you know, spend hours. And I'm like, really? You know, we are completely backwards.
The True Love Show.
We are completely backwards. Please go listen to Jose.
MyLifeMinistries.org/truelove.
Oh, my goodness. I thought we are a society with no absolutes. We have no moral absolutes.
It's the predominant.
Absolute.
Well, the predominant philosophy in our society is relativism, modern relativism. And that is the problem. It's the root of a lot of problems, and you even encountered it in church. Tell me if you've ever heard this one. What does this passage mean to you?
Yeah, we've talked about this, haven't we?
Have we already?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Going over it again, but you really got to watch out for this.
Mm-hmm.
The question you should be asking is, what does this passage from the Bible mean? What did God intend,
what did God
for, it
intend for it to
what
mean?
What is the ultimate? What is the objective truth here? In every situation in your life, you should be, what is the objective truth here? What is the objective principle that should be guiding this situation? Not what is true for me and my family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, you don't, I mean, and see, people mix up the word with tolerance and civility. We are not called as Christians to be tolerant.
Mm-mm.
We are called to be civil.
Yes.
Okay. Now, is there some tolerance in civility? Of course.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you bend your principles to tolerate somebody
else's. I think tolerance in Christianity is called self-control. I think that's a good way to put it. I think self-control is when you don't beat somebody over the head with something out of because of love. Right. You know?
Yeah. Well,
what
you should do is you should act in a persuasive manner.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
In civility, they are allowed to act persuasively towards you, and you are allowed to act persuasively towards them. In tolerance, neither one of you are supposed to persuade the other. You're both supposed to be tolerant of the other person's beliefs and not try to persuade them. Mm-hmm. It's not only what we're called not to do as Christians. It's not healthy for a society.
Mm-mm. No.
Then you just diversify into nothing, into a nothingness.
Nihilism. It
falls into nihilism and it disintegrates into nihilism, I think. I think relativism before, when we encounter relativism before, it disintegrated into nihilism in history. And now we're in modern relativism. And I just think it's going to rot back to nihilism. Nihilism is meaning nothing, nothingness.
Right. That's what it means. It means nothing.
Nothingness. The philosophy of nothingness. So there is nothing. There is nothing. You know, whatever. It's
what's the point?
Pointless. Which is where, like, what Nietzsche said, God is dead.
Yeah, got it. Yeah. Doesn't mean anything.
Sorry, did we get a little? I think we went a little off the deep end on this exit strategy, but this is what you're going to encounter. So, you know what? Maybe you want to skip Friday shows. This is kind of what you're going to be getting.
You're getting us on a soapbox.
We're going to be on our soapboxes on Fridays, and we're going to be, you know, talking about the books that we're reading, and, you know, philosophy and reason. And I'm reading Faith and Reason right now, and Love the God with All Your Mind, and so this is what it's about. So there'll be no update on the hero match today.
Okay.
They may be out on the forum, but they're not in the actual show. In case you don't want to listen to them, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be these kind of things, these kind of topics, that kind of stuff.
Oh, really? So, yeah. Is this going to be a normal thing?
Like Mondays are going to kind of be. We're going to try to keep Mondays couch time and Fridays the exit strategy.
Alrighty. We'll see how long that
lasts. That's my new plan. You know why? Because you got to keep it fresh. You got to renew your mind. You got to keep your mind active and always be, you know, striving for the next level and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So, you know, until next week, this is what we're going to do.
That's what we're doing. Because Brad has ADD, so it may change. And he'll forget next week.
Well,
that was what he was doing.
It also depends on some of the feedback we get.
Oh, okay.
Now, Two Blonde Squirrels has a tradition of this, just so you know. We have a tradition of having different things on different days. For a while, we had the Brad Fu show.
I know, Brad Fu, yeah.
2 days a week. Mm-hmm. And we've had one where, you know, Charlie would do a show on it by himself, and this kind of stuff. So
I was around, you know.
Well, I'm reminding everybody
that
there is a tradition for this. And
yes.
So we'll see how it works.
Yes, we'll see how it goes. Sounds good to me.
I'm glad that it sounds good to you.
Thank you.
Because that's the most important part of all this.
That's right.
Because you're my best friend. And I'm lucky to be in love with my best friend. I have no clue what the tune is.
You couldn't find it.
I couldn't find a tune.
You.
I can't carry a tune in a bucket. My bucket's got a hole in it, Elijah.
Elijah?
Who?
Elijah? Is that what you said?
What's he supposed to say?
There's a hole in my bucket, dear Liza. There's a hole in my bucket.
It's the same thing.
Dear Liza, a hole. We'll fix it, dear Henry.
Okay. You know what is more annoying than that song?
Me singing it?
You know what's more annoying than you singing that song?
What?
Don't know.
You don't know?
I'm sure there's something.
I bet you there's something I could think of.
Yeah.
A little something something.
The first time you ever sang that song for me when we were dating.
Did you consider breaking up with me?
I almost thought I'd made a mistake.
You did not. Shut up.
I didn't like it.
Well, you don't have to like it.
I didn't.
You don't have to.
I don't.
I don't like a lot of things you do, but that's okay.
What do you don't like I do? What?
Let me think.
What I do you don't like?
Let me think.
You know, there's nothing that you really, you're bluffing.
Could it be Buford?
I have nothing to do with that. You can't pin that one on me.
Yeah.
Buford is his own man.
That's the scary thing.
And don't say his name. He's liable to come in here. You know, when you
he's
when
you not
talk
coming
about
in.
Him, when you talk about him, it just conjures him up. You know?
He's not coming in today.
He's out there in the green room listening, right now at the little speaker hanging on the wall.
Nope. He's not coming in. Because I'm going to say, Bios con Dios.
Bios con Dios, everybody.
Squares are gooder than pie.
John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that comes from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him and said, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he be born a second time into his mother's womb? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds might be clearly seen, that they have been done in God.